720 WGN. Mike Steven here with you, rambling on in for Dave Hoekstra here on the Nocturnal Journal. Nice to be here with you this evening on the air until 11 o'clock. So where is Diamond Dave Hoekstra? Do you like that, Diamond Dave Hoekstra? Do you think that could stick, Dan?
No? I like it.
Okay, maybe. Does Dave do like the jump kicks and leather pants?
Not that I've ever seen, but, you know, anything's possible.
Anything is possible, especially if you're going across the country in a camper van, tricked out, artwork designed by Chicago's very own Tony Fitzpatrick. Who knows what could happen? Do we know where Dave Hoekstra is at this moment?
He is well off of Route 66 by now. He took a sharp turn north somewhere in California. Last I saw, he was in Grand Forks, British Columbia. So he's all way up north, northwest Canada.
They let him in, huh?
Yeah, I guess. Well, they did get detained and searched at the border, I guess.
So this van rolls up, and it's got all this crazy artwork on the side. And don't you think the police, the Mounties, or someone, the Border Patrol, is going to be like, we need to take a look inside?
Yeah,
I think that's probably going to happen.
Yeah, I think the artwork, I guess, that they were probably 95% sure that they were going to find something. They did not, because
okay.
He got in. But
good. Way to go, Dave Hoekstra, Diamond Dave. Well, he is going across the country because he's working on this camper project. He's writing a book about his experiences going across the United States in his camper van. And he's sending us some clips of the people that he meets along the way and the things that he's doing along the way. And so in this clip that we're going to hear, Dave talks with Ramona Lehman. She is the longtime owner of the Munger Moss Motel in Lebanon, Missouri. This motel actually opened up in 1946. It's been a destination for people traveling along Route 66. And in this clip, she's going to give us the history of the motel, how the rest of the route has changed over the years since the Lehman family bought the property. So this is Dave with Ramona Lehman from earlier this month.
My name is Ramona Lehman. We're at the Munger Moss Motel in Lebanon, Missouri. Today's date is June the 6th, 2016.
So it's 6/6/16, and we're on Route 66.
The sixes are a lucky number.
How
this
about
year.
That?
Yep.
And we just pulled up. I stayed here before. You know, one time I stayed here and I interviewed Neil Diamond from one of your hotel rooms. I was on a deadline story. I had to talk to Neil Diamond. But this is the 70th year.
Munger Moss is 70 years old this year. My husband and I, Bob, we celebrated our 45th anniversary, the 1st of June. That's when we signed the papers to take over this place. So it's been a long time, but we're still here.
And you were saying this is some type of, you think it might be some type of record for endurance. Tell us about the people who have the longest streaks on Route 66.
Well, so far what I found is Lillian Redman. She ran her place for 40 years. And then I checked the wagon wheel and...
Now, Lillian Redman was what? She was in Oklahoma?
No, she was in Tucumcari. She ran the Blue Swallow.
Okay.
And then the Armstrongs, they ran the wagon wheel in Cuba. And as far as her record goes, she bought it in 63 and she died in 2003.
How many units? Give us the stats on the Munger Moss.
When I come here, I had, I think, 73, 74 rooms. We converted many over to two-room efficiencies back in the late 70s already when the first economy or gasoline crunch hit. So I am now down to 44 rooms that I rent out by the night, and I've got 17 two-room efficiencies. And I took some rooms to make storage rooms, and I live in two rooms.
So, and why is it called the Munger Moss?
It comes from Mr. and Mrs. H.P. Munger. Back in the early 30s, had a barbecue or a fishing resort on the Big Piney River, north of Devil's Elbow.
Mm-hmm.
He died. She went down the river to Devil's Elbow and opened up a sandwich shop and met and married Emmett Moss. Thereby, we come up with the name Munger Moss. And Jesse Hudson, who with her husband built this hotel, motel, She says to me, if that isn't just like her to put her name first. I can still hear her say that to me. You know, like she was more important than he was. So it ran then until about the 40s when the war started and they were building Fort Leonard Wood. Do you know at one time there was 15,000 guys there building the fort?
Wow.
Seems like a lot of people. Everything down there is amazing.
And how far are we from Fort Leonard Wood?
We're about 35 miles.
Yeah.
So, you know, and there was no towns. Waynesville was there, but it was nothing. So I think Lebanon sufficed many times to service that place. When I found we had a USO club in Lebanon back then, all of a sudden my pictures that were here sort of went boing, boing. Maybe they entertained the U.S. troops or the troops here.
Yeah, who all stayed here?
Well, Harry James, I know.
Uh-huh. The band leader for our younger listeners.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And Minnesota Fats.
Oh,
you know, that...
What was Minnesota Fats, the pool player? What was he doing here?
I don't know. Jesse said he wasn't a very nice person. He was sort of very...
Highfalutin.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, something like that.
Yeah. You've got a wall of fame up there. It's Jerry Lee Lewis. Did he stay here?
No, that's Liberace.
Oh, that's Liberace. I asked that last time I was here. Did Liberace stay here?
I can't verify that he did. I don't know. I really don't know. Jesse couldn't tell me a lot. I mean, it was like maybe her memory didn't suffice to it. I don't know either.
So 45 years, the one reason I wanted to stop was I read in all the Route 66 reports that this is up for sale. And I know people are so many fans of yours and stuff.
Well,
but you're hanging in there with it.
Yeah, no, you just can't close it up, and it just don't work that way. So, and you know, we're asking a good hunk of money for it, but eventually it's going to have to be somebody who loves 66, or I won't sell it.
Yeah.
And you know. My oldest daughter, she runs a motel up at Osage Beach. She doesn't want another one.
What's the name of her motel?
The Lake Hotel. She's close to the Bagnell Dam turnoff and stuff. She's one of those hyperfluting ones. And my other daughter is a brittle diabetic, so she has no way. I've got three grandchildren, but they've all got their own lives, and they're happy with what they're doing. So I'll just wait and see. I mean, you know. I've got a couple of people telling me if they win the lottery, they will come and buy my motel. So,
how long has it been on the market?
A couple of years ago, we talked to a guy for a couple of months, and that went kaput. And this time, it's probably been about 5 months.
Oh, 5 months?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But Jerry talked about it a couple of years ago. The first time, I mean, that guy we talked to, he went right away to the news media and... that don't work either.
How has 66 changed over the years?
The people that travel 66 are the same type of people. They're all good people. They don't steal from you. They don't destroy. They appreciate that you've kept it. I get more thanks. And maybe everybody should go back to one-story motels. People sleep better.
Yeah.
Because there's not upstairs running or doors banging or... You know, everybody says it's peaceful, it's quiet. Best night's sleep I had since I left Chicago.
That's nice. So, you've told me before, I mean, Winks, let's talk a little bit about that. I see that's still for sale, the grocery store.
It is. Mr. Rinkle has been good now for, I can't remember how many years, but I don't know. I don't think she's had any offers on it either. So, And then the Holiday Motel, see, that's gone. The Cloverleaf Motel, that was on the 30 exit, and used the address 66 when the interstate was addressed to 66. That's all tore down, so some of the old places are going out of this place, too.
What's the population here?
I'm thinking we've got to be right around 15,000 or a little bit over. Keeps growing a little bit slowly.
And what's the economic, where do people work? Do they go to Springfield or?
No, we've got factories. We've got a couple to air conditioning companies. We've got a furniture factory. We've got boat factories. We've got, three, four right in town. I think more raw aluminum comes into our town than a lot of places. We make all the pontoons and aluminum boats for Best Tracker. We've got what was low line. We've got Generation 3, and so no, there's what we lost a big thing a number of years ago, and that was our HD Lee plant, and we were the head built company for your Lee jeans and stuff.
Lee jeans.
Yeah. When that went out, we lost 900 jobs, but all of them evidently got placed someplace because. You know, we don't really go backwards, but we grow slow.
Dave Hoekstra from earlier this month talking with Ramona Lehman, who is the longtime owner of the Munger Moss Hotel in Lebanon, Missouri. He is going across country. We will hear more from that conversation. Mike Steven in for Dave Hoekstra here on the Nocturnal Journal on 720 WGN. Right now, you are tuned in to 720 WGN, the Nocturnal Journal. I'm Mike Steven, filling in for Dave Hoekstra this evening. Mr. Hoekstra is going across the country in his camper van. He is sending us back some audio reports of what he is finding, the people that he's meeting. This is part two of his conversation with Ramona Lehman, who is the longtime owner of the Munger Moss Motel in Lebanon, Missouri.
Tell the listeners, how far are we from Chicago? Feels like 4 days.
Thinking you're somewhere's about, what, 450, 460?
Yeah.
Somewhere's in there.
So you're from St. Louis. You're how many?
167.
Yeah, so it's a good place to stop when you're coming out of Chicago.
So, well, a lot of the tours will go to Springfield, Illinois, and then they'll come from Springfield to here. And then sometimes they go from here to Tulsa.
And you're going into prime season right now.
Yep.
I said we're here. I don't know if you were here. We're here 6-6 on 66.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's funny how things work out.
So 6 is your lucky number right now.
Yeah.
So we had a big party here about a little over a month ago. I had my place completely full of nothing but Route 66 lovers.
Yeah.
So we had a bridge rally trying to save our bridge that's east of here. And then I had a band here, and we had vendors here, and I mean, you know, sold stuff like popcorn and don't get old, your memory goes.
And how old, can I ask how old you
are? I was 78.
You do this, I mean, everybody knows this. I mean, you do this for the love of the road.
And because the people, it's fun.
Uh-huh.
I have met people from, I bet you, every single country that there is. I learned stuff yet from people. The funniest thing somebody ever said to me was a guy from Brazil. Come through that door and he looked at me and he says, "You're Ramona." I said, "Yes." Walks over. "By damn, you're real."
Wow. Wow, that's great.
I said, "I hope I am." But wow. No, it's fun talking to people. And like you asked me about the history, and I mean, people enjoy that. And I get my pictures out of what the old Munger Moss sandwich shop looked like and what this place looked like when it was first built. They enjoy that.
Well, I mean, your oral history. You can speak from experience of stuff that happened here.
Yep.
That is fading away.
Yeah, it is, because everybody ticks.
Yeah.
Nobody talks anymore. It's going to be a quiet world.
That's a good point.
So, anyhow, then to watch TV, they're going to have to text.
Yeah,
you think that technology will ever get that far?
I like the fact I didn't see these last time. You have matches.
That's from the 70s.
Yeah, right.
Take a couple packs.
Yeah. I didn't pack those for the trip.
No, I found a couple boxes back in the laundry room last spring when I cleaned out. So I just give them away to people.
And give us the details, the address, phone number, website, all that stuff.
Okay, Munger Moss Motel, 1336 East Route 66, Lebanon, Missouri, 65536. Phone number is 417-532-3111. My website is mungermoss.com, and my email address is mungermoss@embarkmail.com.
Where are you? I've asked you this before. Where are you born?
Northeast corner of Iowa, on a farm. An old little Iowa farm gal.
Yeah.
And I hope to, within the month, go back up and set my feet back on the ground, go back to my roots, See, I tell everybody, too, I was predestined to do this.
Why do you say that?
Bob and I got married back in 1957. We went to St. Louis on our honeymoon. We stayed in the King Brothers Motel on Route 66. We farmed. He was allergic to cattle dust and hog dust. So he worked for Mormon Feed Company for a while. The winter of 70-71, we had lots of snow. I mean, we had to bring the big plows in to boost it way up there. We had 10-foot piles. Last day of January, we had a civil defense warning blizzard. Nobody knew what it was. When it hit, you couldn't see nothing. And he was out, way out in the country, 50 miles away from home. Him and 30 other people stayed in a farm place that night. And when he walked in the door the next morning, he said, "We're moving, and we're moving south." Okay.
All right. Another great conversation. Dave Hoekstra with Ramona Lehman, the longtime owner of the Munger Moss Motel in Lebanon, Missouri. Or she says Missouri. I know that is the battle. Missouri versus Missouri. I say Missouri. But that that motel, rather, opened up in 1946. A really cool destination for those traveling along Route 66. Mike Steven in for Dave Hoekstra here on the Nocturnal Journal. We'll take a quick break. Come back. We'll get a look at the news here on 720 WGN.
I think I'll roll another number.
WGN, Mike Steven, filling in for Dave Hoekstra here on the Nocturnal Journal. As Mr. Hoekstra travels across the United States in his camper van, he has his audio recorder with him. He is recording conversations and sounds that he encounters along his journey. In this next clip that we're going to hear, Dave talks with artist Greg Arnold at the site of his sculpture. Get this, it's called Giganticus Hedicus. I'll say it again, because it's fun to say. Giganticus Hedicus. It's a 14-foot tall tiki head along Route 66 in Kingman, Arizona. Greg Arnold talks about the property's history as a shady real estate office, an inspiration to Gene Roddenberry, who is the creator of Star Trek, and home to the Cozy Corner Trailer Park, as well as his own philosophies on art and life.
This is Greg Arnold, and we're here at the home of Giganticus Hedicus, located at 9855 Route 66 in beautiful Kingman, Arizona.
And we're kind of outside of, like, downtown Kingman. Tell me what direction we're at and what the landscape is here. I mean, like, what's that behind us and all that. So tell us.
Okay.
Give me the setting.
We're 18 miles from Kingman City. It's still considered Kingman, even though it's so far away, but we have the same zip code and stuff, so they just give it to us. And this area used to be called Antares Point. And we're right at the longest continuous curve of Route 66. And that's at Antares Point and Route 66. And they stopped calling it Antares Point some years ago. And I'm not sure why. I think there was like a lull in people, because there was a lot of people that had come here originally. And right now we're sitting in a giant A-frame building that is originally a real estate office.
It kind of reminded me of a Stuckey's or something. But
absolutely. A lot of people think that.
Yeah, yeah.
And because it has the big A-frame shape and all of that, but it wasn't. It's a. It was really a real estate office that was made in 1953 during a land boom that was here. And this area is called Lake Mead Rancheros. So it kind of tricked people, even though we're out in the desert, into thinking that we were near the Lake Mead. So they sold a lot of land to people from out of state, out of the country. And so it was like a real estate fraud thing that had happened. And that's how this area came to be.
Before I forget, what does the point name mean? Andreas Point or whatever that is.
Well, because at the, like I said, the longest continuous curve, and if you look at the map from Google Maps and stuff, it comes to a point right
where
there.
Where does that name come from, though?
Antares?
Yeah.
There's a star called Antares. Oh, okay. And interestingly enough, The rumor has it that Gene Roddenberry, back in the day, the creator of Star Trek, had stayed here. And there was, I've seen pictures of Jack Klugman here, all kinds
stayed
of
here, stuff. Stayed where?
Yes, right? Stayed here at this trailer park, back when it was a motel also.
Oh.
So the...
Another scoop for Nocturnal Journal.
Yes.
Nobody's heard that.
No, they haven't.
Thank you, Greg.
Yeah. And so Gene Roddenberry had stayed here. And after that, he had written in the Antares ship into his Star Trek novels. And so everybody attributes him staying here at Antares Point for that.
My book and a lot of stuff I do, the little road segments I do in the radio and the books I do and stuff, they're always one thread that connects everything, even though they're different subjects, is always about sense of place. And one thing I'm asking people while I'm on the road with this book is, what is it that brought you here? So out of all the places in America, how'd you end up in this particular location?
Strangely enough, I was born and raised in New Jersey, never traveled much.
What
or
part
anything.
Of New Jersey?
Bradley Beach, okay. Central Jersey. So where we were located, it was 70 miles to Manhattan, 70 miles to Philadelphia. So it was a great location right on the shore also. So what would make me leave that? Well, a friend of mine he's an over-the-road truck driver. So I had a bunch of weeks free. So I said, hey, listen, let me take a ride with you across the country. We drove all over. We covered just about every state that exists.
Like, kind of like my trip.
Like your trip now, exactly.
You probably took more time.
Yeah. Driving 500 miles in one day. You're a madman.
Yeah, right.
So when we came through here, out of all the places in America that we had seen, this place felt so magical. It was unbelievable. Everything just feels right. Everything has such a great energy. There's the Hualapai Indian tribe here. There's a great sense of community. And the views, they're changing every 5 minutes. You know, the sun will change.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, like the Music Mountains that are behind us, it'll look like some of it's made out of gold and copper, or just be purples and blues, and the skies change all the time, and the sunsets and the sunrise. So you can put a window in your house, and it's better than any artwork you could possibly hang there, just watching nature do what it does. And you can do that right here.
So when did you come here? When,
about
this location?
About 14 years ago.
14 years ago.
Yeah.
And then you started doing art. Tell us what type of your sculpture, and did you do all out of here, out of the Arizona area?
Yes.
Yeah.
What happened was, when I bought this place, and I had never really made any sculptures or anything before. I had dabbled with, you know, acrylic painting and stuff like that. So Giganticus heticus, which is a 14-foot-tall tiki head, is... So,
and this has all my stuff in one, all my loves in one visit.
Which is
awesome. Love tiki heads. I love Route 66.
And you had just went to Easter Island.
I just went to Easter Island in November. Yeah.
Well, how long did you stay there?
About a week. It should have been longer, but I was about as tired as I am now. But I mean, that's great. A tiki head on Route 66.
Right.
Yeah.
And so one of our friends, Bob Wallace, he's a terrific author, yeah. And he wrote this book called Yabo. He's so cleverly distinct. It's amazing. So he had said it best. He said, you built Giganticus because it wasn't there, didn't you? He said, people climb Mount Everest because it's there. You built this because it wasn't there. And I was like, you know what? That really summed it up. It was perfect.
When did you install it, and tell us what it's made of?
Okay, I built it like 13 years ago, and I just saw it in my head. And just wandering
You've
around.
You've never
the
been
property.
To Easter Island.
Never been there.
You've been to
so
a good you've been to a good tiki bar, though, right? You've been
yeah. yeah. Oh, and I belong to a Facebook group called Tiki Arizona,
yeah.
Which is very cool.
Yeah.
So they have all kinds of fun stuff. And I didn't even draw a picture of it. I just saw it in my head. There was a big metal tank that was down bottom in the trailer park. So we just wrapped the chain around it, drug it up here with a pickup truck, placed it where I wanted it. Then I drilled holes, went to Home Depot, and the reason that it's 14 feet tall is that's because that's the longest 2x4s that they sold. So otherwise it would have been 16 or 20 feet tall or whatever. So then I bolted all the 2x4s to it, grounded it all, wrapped styrofoam around it. And because I found out here, and I'd never worked with any of this stuff, that they build a lot of houses out of this styrofoam, and then it's chicken wire, and then you use cement and stucco. So I was like, well, why can't I make what I'm seeing in my head out of that? So at this point, there's probably about 10,000 pounds of cement on Giganticus. And so then I just covered it with cement, and it was pretty remarkable because the wind gets pretty ferocious here sometimes, and I was working by myself. So I'd be up on the ladder making the styrofoam bend around all these 2x4s. Then I'd go down to get maybe the next sheet, and the wind would come, and it would just rip off what I had already just done. So it took a little longer than I would have wanted it to make.
Giganticus Heticus, the story of how that thing came to be a 14-foot tall tiki head along Route 66. We'll hear some more audio from Dave Hoekstra's journals, his travels across the United States. I'm Mike Steven in for Dave Hoekstra on the Nocturnal Journal right here on 720 WGN. This is the Nocturnal Journal here on 720 WGN. I'm Mike Steven filling in for Dave Hoekstra, who is traveling across the United States in his tricked out camper van with his audio recorder in hand. He's sending us back some of his conversations, his audio reports along the way, the people that he's meeting, the things that he's doing. In this part two interview with Greg Arnold, we hear more about Giganticus Heticus, the 14-foot tall tiki head along Route 66 in Kingman, Arizona.
Route 66 is really incredible. There are people who are saying, oh, well, I don't like to see any change on Route 66. It's like, or we wish it was the way it was. It's like, okay, are you talking about the way it was in the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, the 80s, the 2000s?
Yeah.
It's always changed, as you said. Yeah. It's always evolved. There's a new motel. There's a new landmark. There's a new abandoned car that has a tree growing through it that nobody saw. It's like, oh, my God, there's always something.
Yeah.
And what people are doing now, there's a huge resurgence, a huge rebirth. And they're incorporating, like with this building, let's say, we're leaving the mid-century, really googie style to it, which is fantastic. We love that. But we're adding, instead of putting neon, we have LED lights. Mm-hmm. They're more energy efficient. We're adding new technology with the old styles, and you can make them all blend.
Yeah,
so
sure.
The past can greet the future. It doesn't have to be one or the other.
Yeah, right. It's great, though. I mean, I was driving up here, and when I saw the tiki, what do you, Giganticus Heticus.
Yeah, Giganticus Heticus.
As I pulled up, it made me smile.
Cool.
I mean.
And that's what it's for.
Yeah, right.
It's supposed to bring out emotion. Positive.
It's very, very whimsical. So what all do we have here? You have a little gift shop? Or
yes.
Actually, what's the train line over there? That's not the Santa Fe.
That's the Santa Fe.
Yeah, okay, all right.
So
okay.
You've seen it 100 times on your trip.
Yeah.
When that train was going, it was passing here.
And it goes right into downtown Kingman.
Oh, yeah, and all the way to California.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's incredible, too, because so many tourists will stop and they'll see just to see the train. Or, interestingly enough, also, to see the mailboxes that are across the street. You don't know how many people will just come to a screeching stop or turn around and go over and spend a half hour taking photos of those mailboxes.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
And so we have a gift shop here called The Mystical Side. Uh-huh. And my sister, Tracy Deaney, she runs it. It's hers. And we have just various artwork, and we want this to be a place where there'll be people who are like writers or poets or photographers that they just come right here to this location because it is so magical feeling and free.
Yeah, and you were telling me on the phone last night, so tell us, and this goes into the book for sure, the plans for the trailer park and what the trailer park history here and where you're going to go with that.
Oh, yeah, so it's evolving. Mm-hmm. It was originally, down bottom, it was a camp for the railroad workers and stuff.
It was?
Yeah. So then it again just evolved as everything kept going. So we have some mobile homes there now, and there's us.
Are they residents or are they tourists?
They're residents,
residents.
Okay. We have this one guy, Old Ed, we call him, because, well, he's Old Ed. He's going to be 100 in a couple of years.
Really?
He's absolutely amazing. He'll bicycle to town 18 miles.
Really?
Yeah. He goes out to the desert here and just hits golf balls, and he goes and gets them. And he's always, like, real dapper, always dressed up and everything. You know, it's unbelievable. And the characters you meet here, it's surreal.
Okay. You're going to develop it as more of a trailer park? What's it called? The Cozy?
Cozy Corner Trailer Park. Okay. And it's at Antares Point.
Okay.
And we had redone the sign out there, which is very cool. And, again, using LED lights. So the sign's redone, and we figured that was a sure way for everybody to see that this place is happening again. And so we're redoing all the trailers. We're redoing the RV spots and the bathrooms and the shower and everything. We have apartments up here where the motel used to be. And, you know, just, you know, we're going to pave. And
how many spots do you have?
We're allowed to have up to 50.
Up to 50?
Yeah.
So when did all this start? When did it all, like the store and visitors, when did all that start kicking in?
Well, there was, you know, we had bought the place and...
What year was that?
That was, oh my gosh, let me backtrack a little bit. Maybe 2000 and...
2001?
2001.
Okay.
Thank you, Allie. So, she knows everything. Yeah. And so we bought the place. And then it had still been a trailer park and everything, but there was nothing going on with the A-frame, and they'd filled it with a whole bunch of, there was boat parts and stuff in here. It was like a whole thing.
Uh-huh.
So we emptied it out and just slowly just let it, you know, let it come back to life. And just recently, probably in the last year, is when we've taken it seriously, because I used to travel for work a lot. I'm a certified structural welder, and that's how I got into metal art and everything. And so I'd travel for work with these different engineering companies. So they'd have me in North Dakota for 6 months, or they'd have me in Ohio for 3 weeks, and then all of a sudden now they had to move me to Minnesota and all these things. So it was very hectic. I was never able to be here. And then I met Allie like 5 years ago. So then we just decided enough with the traveling as far as that goes. Travel for fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, travel mm-hmm. for fun.
Do you have any of your other work here? Any pieces of
yours? Oh, outside I have a whole bunch of metal sculptures and everything. A couple of my paintings are in here, and Allie's paintings are in here. Again, we're just starting to put things out for sale. We donate a lot to different organizations, you know, for fundraisers and raffles. And my sculptures seem to sell like $2,000 and up.
No.
And so it's been a very good response. And I get a lot of commissioned work.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, oh, make me one like that, but bigger or smaller or this yeah. or that. So it's just fascinating how it's like all tied together. And life can be such an adventure if you just let it.
Yeah.
Like, let it. It will, you know, instead of being home on a Friday night, let's say, and saying, oh, well... Well, you know, so-and-so is having a little get-together, but I don't want to go. It's easier just to order a pizza and put your feet up and watch TV.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Go.
Yeah.
Just say the hell with it. You can order a pizza anytime. You know what? Go to that. If you don't like it, you can always leave.
Very inspiring. But, yeah.
Just go. Just let life happen. I was a talent coordinator at a supper club in Manhattan called Tattoo.
See, I like supper clubs, too.
Yeah.
I wrote a book on supper clubs.
Did you?
Yeah, but rural supper clubs, not like Tattoo.
Tattoo.
I never heard
T-A-T-O-U.
Of that.
T-A-T-O-U. Yeah. They have a place in Manhattan, Beverly Hills, Paris. And
you were the talent coordinator?
I was the talent coordinator for the Wednesday night show. And then they moved it to Monday. So then
who'd you bring in?
It was very cool. I have a recording of Mariah Carey's very first performance.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so all kinds of stuff. Ellen DeGeneres' girlfriend,
what, so you would
Portia.
Find these people and then book them?
Yeah, they'd contact us. It was a very cool venue for people.
What era was this? Mariah Carey, that had to be a while ago.
Yeah, and she was still a pup. I guess I was still in my 20s.
Wow.
Yes, it was a while ago.
Wow.
So, but I always needed that.
My list
I needed. I needed the adventure.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I had art shows in Greenwich Village and at the Limelight, which is.
Oh, I've been there.
Cool.
I was the one in New York. They had one in Chicago.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
You
right.
had the one in New York.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So I had a, mm-hmm. you know, so when you walk in those front doors and that huge corridor, all my artwork was all on there and stuff. It was very cool.
Oh, I didn't know that about you.
Yeah. Life again is supposed to be an adventure.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
let it.